You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judges, how are you all? Hope you're all well in the chat. Hope you're all doing well. Into lull, unfortunately, but that hasn't stopped us from bringing you a show. Tonight, this is an idea that was thought up by my good friend Danny the GFP. He's in the chat. We were talking about it the other night. So thank you very much, Danny, for letting me go ahead using your little idea. So we're going to use that tonight. Harry, how are you, sir?
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad. It's been a busy day, so which is surprising because it's the international break and I was supposed to chill out, but it didn't work out like that. So looking forward to chatting Arsenal with you guys and unwinding a little bit.
Thank you very much indeed, mate. Pleasure to have you here. Dan, how are you?
Very well, thank you, boys. I'm a bit surprised, really, that Prince William was voted as the sexiest, baldest man. I thought that Lee Judges might have got up there. Do you know what I mean?
I'm furious. I've wrote to the Queen. I tell you, I've wrote to the Queen.
I'd have given it to Freddie Lundberg myself. Sorry, Judges.
I've never liked you, Harry. Never liked you.
I would have been well up there, to be fair.
I'm good, thank you, though, Craig.
Good, that's good. Judges, how are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm all good. I was going to... Today's episode is sponsored by Walnut Whip. Have you ever had one of these for a long, long time? Walnut Whip. I was going to have one, right? And I swear to you now, I'm going to have this on the show because it's got a nut on the top. Walnut Whip. That's why it's called Walnut Whip. I've looked at the 1,486 calories. It's gone. Like, out of the window. I'm not having one. I'm not having it for that. What a joke. I'd rather have 6 miles bars. Anyway, carry on, lads. Carry on.
Well, are you sure? All right, fine. Okay, so as you would have seen from the thumbnail.
I didn't take
that. Oh, that's good. I'm glad that's gone. As you see for the thumbnail, the boys have got half an hour this evening to pick their ultimate Arsenal team. Can be from any era, can be from whatever you like. You've got half an hour to do it, but then after the half an hour, there comes a little twist where we'll spend another half an hour doing something. So, Harry, goalkeeper, in your ultimate Arsenal team, who would be your goalkeeper?
We've all got to agree on this, have we?
You've all got to agree on it.
We've all got to agree.
Yeah, I'll just sit back and get me popcorn out of Harry and Dan. Jesus.
I'm gonna go with David Seaman. I know you said we can pick from any era, but I didn't watch many of them before him, so it's hard for me. So I'll go with David Seaman, but I'm open on this one. If anyone has anything else. I also like Jens Lehmann a lot, but for longevity, I'll go with Seaman.
Dan?
My favourite goalkeeper to watch was Jens Lehmann. Bob Wilson and Pat Jens obviously deserve a mention, but I'm going to go with David Seaman with Harry. I don't think there's anyone that touches him, if I'm honest, in an Arsenal shirt. I just thought he was Mr. Safe Fans, and I think if you go back in history, you're gonna see some fantastic goalkeepers. But I think he was underrated as a goalkeeper, David Seaman, because of the people that were surrounding him. I think if he was growing up in an era of Peter Schmeichel, Oliver Kahn, Van der Sar, and I think that everybody put them underneath. And I never thought he was. I thought he was outstanding. So I'm going to go David Seaman.
David Seaman, two for David Seaman. Judges?
Well, it's for me, like, the first goalkeeper I can remember playing for Arsenal was a guy called Jimmy Rimmer. Was the first goalkeeper, like, you know, I think he came from
1939, wasn't he? Or something?
No, need to be facetious, is it?
He
was four.
No need for that. I'll have word with your mum when I see her, like, no need for it. You know what I mean? Right. But Pat Jennings was up there with, definitely without a doubt up there with David Seaman. But I think Pat Jennings really was a Tottenham man as well. Like, you know, John Lukic deserves a mention. But for me, you know, John Lukic, by the way, is the first goalkeeper I see win a title. So, but then David Seaman come along and was just different class. So, yeah, I'm going with you on that, guys. David Seaman.
David Seaman gets the number one spot. Harry, right fullback.
I'm going to go with my favourite, but again,
yeah, that's fine, mate,
I'm open to this, right? But my favourite right fullback at Arsenal was Lauren. I know a lot of people are going to say Lee Dixon as well, mm-hmm. and that's a fair shout too.
I agree with you. Lauren's mine as well.
But yeah, there was something about Lauren, wasn't there? There's a bit more flair, but also the steel as well. And yeah, top player for me. So, and it just from my era. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Dan?
So I loved Lauren, and I also loved Bakary Sagna. I thought he was very underrated as a fullback. I thought he was class. If I'm going back in time, I think Pat Rice deserves a shout because of how fantastic he was, but I'm going to go with Lee Dixon. I thought Lee Dixon was outstanding and part of one of the best back lines I've ever seen. He was just a 7 or 8 out of 10 every single game, Lee Dixon. I can't think of many bad games he had, and I think he deserves to be in the team. So I'm going to go Lee Dixon.
Okay, one for Lee Dixon, one for Lauren. Lee?
Great shout, Pat Rice. Terrific defender. Best fullback I've seen at Arsenal was Viv Anderson, to be honest. But didn't play long enough. Played for a couple of years, was sensational at right back. But again, we're going to go for longevity. Is that the word I'm looking for? Like, you know what I mean? I am it. Lee Dixon.
Lee Dixon. So two for Lee Dixon, one for Lauren. So unfortunately, well, I'm not saying unfortunately, but as the votes go, that's Lee Dixon in at right back. First centre half, Harry?
Mr. Arsenal. It's got to be Tony Adams.
Of course.
No question about
it. There's no question. I mean, I don't think we need to. Dan?
Straight in. One of the first names on the team sheet for me, so
Absolutely.
It has to be.
Absolutely. And Lee, Tony Adams,
let's
I think we could...
Let's not get around three. Let's make it three.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. I think everyone... I think this he goes into anyone's ultimate Arsenal team, I think. What about the second centre-back then?
Tough one.
I'll go with Sol Campbell. Because it's obviously an incredible time in Arsenal's history. I thought he was solid. I thought he was... not just a really good defender, but physically, literally untouchable. People bounce off him when they ran into him. Also, you got to think, right, that he came... I know we were a lot better than Spurs at the time, right? So making the move was obviously an upgrade for him. But all the shit he got for that, and he still, like, just blocked it out. I think he's incredibly strong mentally as well. I know there's other players, you know, the Steve Bolds, the Martin Keown's that people might bring into the conversation as well. And obviously players before that as well. Was George Graham a centre half?
No,
centre midfielder, wasn't he?
Yeah. So you know, there's a lot of names over the years, but again, I've got to stick to my era and what I remember, and I'll go with Sol.
Absolutely, Sol Campbell again. I mean, still, you go on about all the shit that he took. He still trolls Spurs fans to this day.
Yeah, exactly.
On social media, and I love it when he does it. I love it. It's so good to see. Dan, second centre half.
Yeah, it's difficult, like Harry, for me, because I didn't go back in time to the Frank McClintocks and even the David O'Learys, because they were both class, from what I hear. I can't look past Sol Campbell, man. I mean, Keown and Bold deserve a mention, but Sol Campbell to come like he did, the way that he came. And I think, Lee, I think it might have been you who said it with me, that we didn't notice Tony Adams had gone because Sol Campbell just slotted straight in. So I've got to go with Sol Campbell, man. I can't not.
He's a bit like our Virgil van Dijk, Lee, isn't he, Sol Campbell?
Yeah. Listen, we've been blessed with good central defenders through all my Arsenal times. You know what I mean? Steve Bold definitely needs to get a mention. Martin Keown, I think, is probably the underrated one because he never does get the credit that he deserves. He was superb, as was Frank McClintock. David O'Leary, if he played now, David O'Leary would be worth, you know, millions because he was a ball-playing central defender in a world where it was not like that. Brilliant central defender. Got to give a little mention to Willie Young, you know what I mean? Fantastic, like, you know.
Biggest Willie in the land.
Biggest Willie in the land. He come all over Terry's bum. Really young. That's what the Spurs fans used to sing, like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean.
There goes a bottle of wine this month.
Great banter, like, yeah, I mean. Sorry about that, but that's what I used
to sing. Right.
Don't worry. Craig likes Diet Coke. Don't worry, Lee. You're all right.
Yeah. I'll take it out of my McDonald's order. Yeah. I don't care. But the one reason that I go Sol Campbell, and I tell you that, is that Tony Adams will get into every single Arsenal 11. But when he left and was replaced by Sol Campbell, no one turned around. No one I've ever heard on the stands go, God, we missed Tony Adams today. And I think that says it all about Sol Campbell.
I do feel a tiny bit guilty about leaving McClintock out though. Double winning captain,
I didn't really see him too much.
That's why I left him out, because of that.
Peter Simpson in him, mate, had a fantastic. Well, watch all the video, you know, games on TV and videos and all that, like, you know. And if you've ever got a chance to have a look back at the old things on Sunday mornings at the minute on the Big Match Revisited, seeing the old games and all that. See some classic players on there, and Peter Simpson was up there. Great, great, you know, all the way through Arsenal. I probably, you know, someone just mentioned in the chat, 1930s. I bet we had two good centre-halves in as well.
Mm. Okay, this one could be quite tough because we've had a few good left-backs. Harry, left-back.
This one's easy for me, man. If we're talking about ability and quality, it's Ashley Cole. Mm-hmm. I would think he's probably England's greatest ever left back, let alone Arsenal. So yeah, I know people are going to say Kenny Santer, but I think football, and it's not to take away anything from the players back in the day, but I think football's progressed and they've developed, and the best players now, I think, are better than most of the best players back then. Because I think the game's moved on, and so
absolutely.
I can't. Ashley Cole didn't just do it at Arsenal, did he? He went and done it at Chelsea. He done it at England level. I just think he's unbelievable. I hate him for the way he left us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, as a player, all right. Yeah, someone coming in there with Andre Santos.
He's a cult hero.
Yeah, Dan.
This is hard for me because I don't like to admit how decent this geezer was. Probably the best left back in the world at one stage, in my opinion. And I don't know that Kenny Sansom was. Maybe someone can prove to me that he was. I wasn't around to see it. But Ashley Cole certainly took over from Paolo Maldini and Roberto Carlos, in my opinion, as being the best left back in the world between the years 2000 to 2008. I don't think there was a left back that could even come close to him. I hated the way he left. I hated that he went and won everything with Chelsea. Do I blame him? Absolutely not one bit, because if you ask me to go and play next to John Terry and Frank Lampard or Senderos or Danielson, I'd be going to play with Frank Lampard and John Terry and winning trophies. And look what he did. He went and won everything there is to win in football. This guy was exceptional, and I cannot accept anyone else being ahead of him. So I'm with Harry. I'm not liking this. Me and Harry are agreeing too much tonight. I'm not a fan of this. What's that?
Uncomfortable.
I thought you was going to say Kieran Tierney because he trains in short sleeve. I expected something like that.
It was between him or Kolasinac.
Lee, who are you going for at left back?
This is a really interesting one because Kieran Tierney wouldn't even get in the top four at this moment in time of left backs. And he's a very, very good left back. We have been blessed with the two best left backs of their era in the world at one stage, and that would be Kenny Sampson and Ashley Cole. Kenny Sampson, I think, is slightly better than Ashley Cole defensively, but I felt that probably Ashley was a little bit better going forward. But they're both fantastic left backs. You know what I mean? I have to mention Nigel Winterburn, you know, for what he'd done at the club. Probably like one of the most successful left backs we've ever had. And probably like, you know, and I when I do see him, I always say I'm the third best left back we've ever had. Like, you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of stick. But he was an absolutely brilliant left back as well. Sammy Nelson has to go down as another one for me as a great left back. But for me, I would go Kenny Sampson, but I'm being outvoted by these two whippersnappers. So it is definitely, I'm going to have to go with Ashley Cole. But I'll tell you what, not a lot in it between him and Kenny Sampson.
Kenny Sampson, yeah, not a lot. Very close
indeed.
Fantastic
player he was.
Let's go for, so what we'll do is we'll do 4-4-2, right? So right midfielder or right winger, whatever takes your fancy, right-sided player. So Harry, right wing, right midfield?
I'm going to have to go with Freddie Ljungberg. I'm going to have to go with Freddie Ljungberg because not only did he have incredible work rate and really like put in a shift for the team, he had this knack of getting into the box and scoring goals as well. And he was a match winner on so many occasions. And that for me is invaluable. Players that can step up when the moment's, you know, when the moment's right and make themselves heroes. I think he was just an incredible player. Again, I completely accept that people are going to have thoughts of players maybe that played before him. You know, during my time, you know, who are the right wingers that really stayed at Arsenal and did something with their careers? You know, some might say Ray Parlour, but not in the same class of player. Yes, a very good servant to the club, a very hard worker, but Freddie Ljungberg for me was just a better footballer, so.
When I go back to when you rinse out all those names, the amount of goals that we used to get from midfield, yeah. Perez, Ljungberg, Parlour, how are we missing that now? Right now, this minute at Arsenal, missing those goals coming from midfield. Dan, who would be your right-sided player?
Well, you lot have screwed me over here massively, haven't you? You've massively screwed me over here. I wanted to go 4-3-3 because later on we're going to be having a massive argument now. Okay, if you're not going to go 4-3-3 and we're going to go right midfield, I am going to go with my head and heart and go for Rocky on the right.
Someone has to come out with that, yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's between him and Alexis Sanchez, if I'm honest. I thought Sanchez carried that Arsenal team more than Freddie, as much as I love Freddie Ljungberg. I thought he was outstanding. Ray Parlour was very underrated. But I'm going to go with Rocky because I think the mentality, the way that he wore the shirt, a little bit before my time, if I'm honest with you. But the way he came through and how sensational he was basically like watching a Brazilian in South London, wasn't he? So I'm going to go for Rocky. God bless him, man. How fitting it would be to put him in the team on this day. So I'll go
absolutely.
For Rocky.
Absolutely. Judges?
Listen, you know, great shouts on the right-hand side. Ljungberg has to be considered. You know, Sanchez, if you want to go onto that side, has to be considered. Paul Merson has to be considered as well. You know what I mean? He was outstanding for Arsenal for a long while. Scorer of goals, brilliant of creator of goals as well. One of my favourite players, by the way, Paul Merson. I thought he was fantastic. David Rowcastle, for 3 years at Arsenal, was just absolutely sensational. And I mean sensational. I've seen he done things. He'd done a step over, which had me turning in the stands at times. I don't know how he'd done it. He was brilliant. Really, really tough one on this one for me. But I think maybe a little bit of sentimental goes with it as well for me. So Rocky gets it for me. But, you know, Freddie was fantastic. Ray Parlour, underrated in that role because in that 1998 side, he was as good as anything on the right-hand side. He was like, you know, he'd done a little bit of everything in that 98. And I know, like, what you can tell about Ray Parlour. He was the player of the season that year in the double-winning side. That tells you how underrated he actually was, you know. But I tend to agree with Harry. He was like, not one of the greatest ever players, but would definitely be in your favourites, Arsenal.
I remember his debut. He gave away a penalty against Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool, like, yeah. Great. I'll tell you what about Ray Parlour. He gave every little ounce of ability he give it to the maximum. Like, he got every bit of ability out of his body that he possibly could. And that's a magnificent thing to say, you know what I mean? Like, and I can tell you that when I've does himself under services, undervalues himself as a player himself. So great, great player. But I think just Rocky for that first three or four years, you know, won us the title in that first year. He was absolutely sensational in that 89 side. And then injuries took their toll, but wonderful, wonderful.
Well, it is the, you know, it's the 20th anniversary on the 31st of his death, David Rowcastle. Lee, I started supporting Arsenal around 88, 89 when my dad started introducing me to watching football on the telly. So I didn't really understand. I was 9 years old. I was watching this game, but I didn't really understand what it meant to be an Arsenal fan at the time. I was cheering for Arsenal because my dad was cheering for Arsenal. You know, that's how most of it starts. But just talk to us. How good was he? On that pitch, people say that he could, you know, everyone puts him in their ultimate Arsenal 11s.
Yeah, I just think you've got to just go on to YouTube and watch a couple of his goals. A goal against Man United when he absolutely skins. Before he does two of the best midfield players at that time in Paul Ince and Brian Robson, he does them on toast and then beats Peter Schmeichel, probably the best goalkeeper of the Premier League and that sort of era. That's how good he was. It was a great chip against Aston Villa, I remember. I remember him getting a great goal, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe against Barnsley when he's shooting about three or four players. He used to be dancing like he was like a dance floor or something, like on not the best pitches in the world, you know what I mean? He was powerful. I tell you what I did like about him, like you come up against people like Stuart Pearce, he never shirked the responsibility of tackling, he got himself stuck in. You know, one of the saddest things for me is that I never got to meet him, you know, at any stage of you know, whatever. But every single player that you meet, whether it be Tony Adams, Kevin Campbell, Ian Wright, whoever, they all speak so, so very highly of him. And that tells you everything that you want to know, like, you know what I mean? He had that determination, that little bit of nastiness on the field. I'm not saying nastiness, but a bit of aggression on the field. But when he was off the field, become a gentleman. But when he was on it, he was a winner. And, you know, he was just a fantastic footballer for us for three or four years. And you know what? Every Arsenal fan of my era could relate to him on the terraces. You know what I mean? He was one of your own. And like, the how I sum it up for me is that, you know, I'm never, as you well know, I'm not a great England fan and it's always Arsenal. But on his debut at Wembley, on a freezing cold night, went and watched a 0-0 bore, but because I knew that he was making his debut that day. Three of my mates went and watched England. It was the worst game ever. And I said, I'm never, ever coming and watch an England game again. It's, you know what I mean? It was absolutely horrendous. I think, check it out, it was probably about 30,000 at Wembley that day. Weren't a big crowd. And but that's what he had for the whole of the Arsenal fan base. And yeah, fantastic, fantastic.
Harry, let's get your two central midfielders.
Patrick Vieira. That one's easy for me. And I'm going to go with, again, another player who left in not the way
he was. Going to say Granit Xhaka.
No, not Granit Xhaka. Don't want to upset Dan, do we? I know I'm going to upset Dan with something later on, so I'll leave that. But no, for me, if we're talking about, again, in my era, you know, Emmanuel Petit was fantastic alongside him. Gilberto Silva was fantastic alongside him. But if you're talking about individual with literally the best ability, the best player, for me, it's Cesc Fabregas alongside him. I just think, though, I wish those two got to play more next to one another, because I think that Vieira just would have provided that platform for Fabregas to go on and do even more. In an attacking sense. So yeah, for me, it's Fabregas and Vieira, and it's not even a debate in my mind.
Okay, mate. Fair enough. Dan, your two central midfielders?
But I'm not going to go for Granit Xhaka, am I? Patrick Vieira is the obvious one. And I'm going to play a diamond. And in the number 10, I'm going to have Dennis Bergkamp.
Ooh, like it.
I like Liam that. Brady. Liam Brady would get in if it was a number two next to Vieira. Fabregas from my era, but I think over all, Liam Brady. I only had to see him once in the 79 Cup final to know that he was best player on the pitch by head and shoulders above everyone else. And from what I hear, this guy was exceptional. So I'd go for Liam Brady and Patrick Vieira if I was going for two. But I'm not. I'm going for a number 10 in Dennis Bergkamp and a holding midfielder in Patrick Vieira.
Hold on. Can we just fake players' positions so that we can cram them in?
That's not a fake position, is it? Did Bergkamp play a number 10? Did Bergkamp play a number 10? Or did he?
The number 10 then was different to the number 10 now. Come on. Let's
number 10, Dennis Bergkamp.
Number 10 was a striker.
Number four, Patrick Vieira. Number 10, Dennis Bergkamp, please, Craig.
Okay, mate, no problem at all, Daniel. No problem at all.
Technicalities.
You know why? They all know why. They're trying to screw me. Go on, judges.
This comes in from Bill Hemmett. Thanks for your kind donation, mate. Thank you very much. If George Jensen don't get picked, we riot.
John Jensen. I saw John Jensen score.
Because you'll be rioting like that, mate. Rubbish. John Jensen was rubbish.
Judges. Your two central midfielders.
The best player to play for Arsenal, as far as I'm concerned, gets in, and that is Patrick Vieira. I put him above Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. I thought he was sensational. The player. Whenever Arsenal had a big game, he was at the forefront of it. 2002, Old Trafford. Thierry Henry wasn't there, but Patrick was awesome. Semi-final in the FA Cup, 2001. Old Trafford, Vieira, awesome. Have a look at the goal that he gets. He drives through players. Fantastic footballer. I think that out of the 1-11, I think in every 1-11, Tony Adams gets into it and Patrick Vieira. I don't think any other, there can be other players you could go in there. But them two players, that shows you how good they were. Totally agree with Harry on Fabregas. Probably the next best thing to I've seen to the player that I'm going to pick. As a young kid, I he was sensational. Got to say that. Absolute fantastic footballer. I think that probably the best of the Emirates era. I think, if I'll be honest, if Fabregas in midfield. But for me, the player that I started watching Arsenal for, and just go back and look at the 1979 FA Cup final. Liam Brady he's got to get into this team somewhere along the line. He was the man. Just a fantastic footballer in an era where he was allowed to get kicked to smithereens. Mm. And he got up and done the business. Liam Brady for me.
Liam Brady goes in because I've written my one out here and I have Liam Brady in it. So
Thank you, Craig. That means it's two. He was a decent fella.
There you go. See, so Liam Brady goes in.
They're a bit older than us.
So far, we've got David Seaman in goal.
Disrespect Liam.
David Seaman in goal.
Which is a waste of a vote. Can I just say that a waste of a vote because he wants to get in his favourite.
No, it's not.
Yes.
David Seaman in goal. Lee Dixon right back. Tony Adams and Sol Campbell centre halves, and Ashley Cole at left back. We've got David Rocastle, right midfield or right wing, whatever, on the right side. Two central midfielders of Patrick Vieira and Liam Brady. Not looking bad so far, chaps. Not looking bad at all. Harry, your left-sided player.
Super Robert Pires. What a player. Deceivingly quick. People didn't realise how quick he was. Able to beat players. Loved cutting inside. Combined brilliantly with Ashley Cole, who's my left back. Just oozed class in everything he did. Had a great little goatee beard thing as well, which gives him extra points in my book. And I've been lucky enough to meet Robert Pires, and he's a lovely guy as well.
Yeah,
and
he is.
You know, sometimes you meet your heroes and they disappoint you, but he didn't. That just made his status for me go up higher. But just when you think back of Robert Pires, how many wonderful goals did he score for us? And he just done it with such class. And
that one, was it that one at Aston Villa?
Yeah, the one at Aston Villa. I remember one at Liverpool that was great.
Liverpool as well.
Southampton at home.
There were so many. And I'll give an honourable mention to Alexis Sanchez, who I considered putting on the left. Fantastic player as well, but didn't do it over as long a period of time, and I didn't like the way he left, so that marks him down for me. And Mark Overmars deserves a mention as well.
Yeah. Again, yes.
Again, Robert Pires for me just pips it. And I appreciate the arguments for the others. I'm going with my personal preference. Yeah, the way I like to see players play is Pires. Just Pires was my type of player in a nutshell.
Dan.
Mark Overmars in 1998 was absolutely outstanding. And when he left, I thought, oh dear. And we got Pires, and it was as if he'd never gone. Pires is the player I've gone for. I think that Lee will probably know or has seen more than me of Georgie Armstrong. I never did. I never see that at all. And you know, Lee might be able to tell you of stuff that he's seen or heard of him, but I certainly didn't see enough to consider him. Limpar as well. Sanchez, I did put on the right, or consider putting on the right. And I think that he was more of a left-sided player, to be honest, at the Emirates. He was class over there. But I have gone for Pires. I look at the Pires goals against Aston Villa. I look at the Pires goal against Southampton. We got a hat-trick on our first unbeaten game. That chip against Paul Jones in goal is absolutely outstanding. One of the best lobs I've ever seen. Pires was outstanding. And in the unbeaten season, he was great. But actually, he was probably better in 2002 before he got that injury. I think the biggest compliment I can give Robert Pires is the best left midfielder there's ever been in the Premier League is Ryan Giggs, in my opinion. And he was as good, if not better, than Ryan Giggs between the years of 2001 and 2004. He was. He was better than Giggs. That's the best compliment I can give a player.
Awesome player.
Ryan Giggs was amazing. So I've got to go Pires.
Dan, I heard that when he was about 6 years old, Ian Wright played on the left wing once. Do you not want to try and make that
interesting? Or... Get him in the team. Bobby Pires, I love you, but Wright, he gets in for me.
Well, just if there's any doubt, Dan, I have Robert Pires as well. So there you go. There can't be no doubt. Lee, your favourite left-sided player?
I didn't, you know, cheeky as much as I. I never actually see George Armstrong. I don't really remember him playing. But my dad, God bless him, and he's seen a lot of Arsenal players, would always say that the best player played for Arsenal was George Armstrong. So that's a big compliment down the line that he was that good. Graham Ricks has to get a mention for Arsenal. He stayed at the club, loyal for the club for many and many years. Fantastic. But for me, Robert Pires gets it for me. I'll tell you, like, you know, Overmars has to come close to it. Some great left side, but Brian Marwood had a great, great 1 year in it, at the beginning of 89. He was sensational, by the way, but really is the forgotten man of that 89 team because he was injured at the end of it. Was superb. You could go Sanchez, Paul Merson played there for a while. But for me, I think one of the best footballers I've ever, as a footballer, you know what I mean? Like a coach's dream, done everything right, Robert Pires, picked the right pass, played it short when he had to, played it long when it was right to, went round the player when he was meant to. And he could finish as well. My God, could he finish, you know? And as Harry says, you know what I mean? Like one of the nicest people you could ever wish to meet. And, you know, his favourite goal was that one, against Aston Villa, and it just sums it up everything, like, you know what I mean? So yeah, for me that's it, like, you know, for me, Robert Pires.
Absolutely. Now we move on to the strikers, which could be a bit, can be this, I think this is where some, I don't think we'll all pick the same two. I have my two picks, but I bet you we don't pick the same two. Harry, your two strikers, please, mate.
Well, the first one is, in my opinion, and it is my opinion, that he's the greatest player to ever play for Arsenal. At one stage, he was the greatest player in the world, and that is Thierry Henry. What a player, unbelievable footballer. Could do so much with a football, had unbelievable pace. I don't think any Arsenal striker comes close to him when you look at what he achieved for the club during his time there. And the other one for me, and Dan's going to disagree, is Dennis Bergkamp. I did obviously consider Ian Wright, but you know, when you look at, first of all, Ian Wright's thing was the goal record, then Thierry Henry came in and smashed that. So Thierry Henry gets ahead of him for me there. And if I'm comparing them in terms of quality, in terms of their ability as footballers, then, you know, Dennis Bergkamp is there for me. I would even go, people are going to hate me for saying this, right? And I know this is going to spark some debate. But in terms of actual technical ability, I'd even say that Robin Van Persie was up there as well, alongside those guys. In terms of his ability, not
that, yeah, no. Good know, shout. Yeah.
Judge said earlier on that the great thing about Ray Parlour was that he squeezed all of that ability out of himself. And he'll never look back on his career and say, I underachieved. Whereas Robin Van Persie, I think he can look back at his career and say, if only I could have stayed fit in certain moments, I would have hit bigger heights than he actually did. So he was in the thinking for me as well. But it's Dennis Bergkamp for me, alongside Thierry Henry. Some of the touches from Dennis Bergkamp. I mean, we were talking about some of Robert Pires's goals. Remember that hat-trick at Leicester from Dennis Bergkamp? Remember that goal at Newcastle, where he flicked it around Dabby's ass and just...
One of my favourite Dennis Bergkamp goals, that one at Sunderland.
Yep, as well. There's so many, Craig. There's so many. He's just a technical genius. And for me, I know a lot of people get kind of caught up in like the relationship between the player and the fans. And obviously Ian Wright had a fantastic relationship with the fans, but, and still does. But for me, there's something when I look at what I appreciate in football, it is technical ability and class. And Dennis Bergkamp can't be beaten for that, in my opinion. So those are my two, Bergkamp and Thierry Henry.
I agree with everything you said there, mate, about Ian Wright and Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. And I think Robin Van Persie is a great shout, to be honest with you, because I think you're dead right. If he could have stayed fit, he would have been one hell of a player. Now, if he had stayed fit, I don't think for 1 minute that he'd have been with us as long as he did. But he for me, Robin Van Persie, if he could have stayed fit, Christ, the titles we could have won with him up front.
That left foot, man. That left foot was unreal.
And do you know another striker? Not that he goes into any ultimate Arsenal team, but do you know another striker who I thought, if he'd have stayed fit, we'd have won the league that year, and that was Eduardo.
Yep.
He was another one. If he hadn't broke his leg that year, we'd have won the league. Easy. He was scoring. Oh, such a... Well, I can remember when he first turned up. Everyone was like, who's this geezer? Like, what is he? Croatian, Brazilian? Or what is he? Do you know? Yeah. No one could understand where he come from, who he was. But by Christ, what an absolute what an absolute baller. Dan, your two strikers, please, mate.
Well, I'm going to get screwed over here massively, aren't I? But I'm going to say it anyway.
What are you getting screwed over? What are you talking about getting screwed over?
I'm going to get outvoted here by these two.
Oh.
But I'll say it anyway. So I went for 4-3-3. I had Vieira, Brady and Pires, and I had Henry, Wright and Bergkamp. So that was what I went for in a 4-3-3. But now it's a 4-4-2. I've got to drop one out. Bergkamp is the best player to wear the shirt, period.
Agreed.
So he walks into this side, walks in. So now I've got to decide if I go with my hero and the reason that I support this club in Ian Wright, or if I leave our records goal scorer out and probably one of the best ever strikers in Thierry Henry. And I'm going to have to leave my favourite out, unfortunately. Because if we're talking about ability and we're talking about who was the best striker to play for Arsenal, then although I think Bergkamp was the best player to wear the shirt, I don't see him as a number 9 striker. So therefore, Thierry Henry gets the shirt and I'm going to have to cry and leave Ian Wright out. But I would mention Ian Wright, and I don't think he does get enough credit. And I don't think he does get mentioned enough because of Henry and Bergkamp. Everyone goes, Henry and Bergkamp, right, let's move on. No, let's remember how good this player was. And I don't think we do. I think that people do sit there and talk. I mean, Harry's like, you know, talking about Van Persie. Nowhere near Ian Wright, in my opinion. I thought Ian Wright was an outstanding finisher, an outstanding striker, and had the charisma and the mentality and the likability to be one of Arsenal's legends. So I can't really say any more superlatives about Ian Wright. I absolutely love the guy as a player, as a striker, and growing up he was my absolute idol and my hero. So it's very, very hard for me to leave Ian Wright out. I thought Ian Wright and Dennis Bergkamp were as good together as Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp. I really do. I thought their partnership was outstanding, and that's why I can't leave Bergkamp out, because either of them absolutely loved him. And, you know, you ask Dennis, you know, you ask Van Persie, Anelka, Wright, Henry, who they love the most? Dennis Bergkamp. He has to be in the side. So I'm going to go with Henry next to him, but I'm not happy about it, Craig.
Well, at the start of this discussion, I said I doubt that we'd all agree. Now, it's all on Lee. How wrong was I? if he goes with Bergkamp and Henry, we've all agreed.
We've had some fantastic strikers from in a time. Frank Stateman would have to go down there as one of my all-time greatest players when I first started watching Arsenal. He's fantastic. Got to mention Alan Smith. Alan Smith, you know, he was fantastic for a couple of years for us. Charlie Nicholas, my favourite, you know, was, I think, the person that changed Arsenal Football Club for if I'll be honest, with the signing of him. Paul Merson, again, I'm going to have to give him a mention for that. 89 season was awesome up there. And then I think that the best player I see as a youngster, and if he'd stayed at Arsenal, I think would have been better than Thierry Henry. I think he was better than all of them. Tony Woodcock, good shout. I remember Tony Woodcock, but was Nicholas Anelka. He was outstanding footballer. Like, if he'd have stayed at Arsenal, he would have been great. And then Ian Wright come along, and how could you not like Ian Wright? John Radford was a good shout. He was my first sort of centre forward that I really liked, you know, John Radford. So you'd have to get a mention, another title winner. Charlie George. This Arsenal have had some great, great strikers. Then along come Ian Wright. And I'm going to have to say this. When he left and when he was coming to the end, I'm never going to see another player like him. And then along come Thierry Henry. Now, and the thing is that they come and goal scorers. It was a little bit of an underwhelming signing, Thierry Henry, if you remember rightly. He was like, well, I think we'd lost Anelka that year, and we'd brought in David Suka and Thierry Henry as like a wipeout. I don't think the Arsenal fans were overly excited about it. Funny enough, like they was with Ian Wright, if I'll be honest. But Ian Wright came and he actually turned the Arsenal fan base within four days, playing the midweek game against Leicester, scored. Which I think we drew that game 1-1, if I remember rightly. And then he scored a hat-trick against Southampton on the weekend, and the rest is history. But for me, Thierry Henry has to come in for it, just for the, you know, as Harry says, he was the best player in the world at one stage, and he was. He was the best player in the world at one stage. If you're the best player in the world, then you can't really say that on too many Arsenal players, can you? Like, the best player in the world, you know, and got to be Dennis Bergkamp, without a sense, the best footballer I've seen at Arsenal, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, that 1998 team won the double that year. He was not only the playmaker, like you talk about Harry Kane scoring goals. Well, he scored as many goals as Harry Kane and created as many as Harry Kane, and if not more, and was a much nicer person and more skillful and a far better player.
Do you know what else as well Dennis Bergkamp doesn't really get enough credit for? When he came to England, like Ian Wright said it many times as well, he was like, I know people talk about Wenger coming in and changing the level of professionalism and the training and taking it more seriously. Well, Dennis Bergkamp came in and did that before Arsene Wenger came. You know, how many stories has Ian Wright told about going, bloody hell, this guy was like on the training ground doing this and doing that, and he wouldn't drink this and he wouldn't eat that. So Dennis Bergkamp is a massive part of the culture change at Arsenal as well, Wenger, of course.
100%.
Sorry, chaps. Right, so we've got our ultimate 11. David Seaman in goal, Lee Dixon at right back, Tony Adams and Sol Campbell in the middle, Ashley Cole left back, David Rocastle on the right, Vieira and Liam Brady in the middle, with Robert Perez on the left, and up front, Dennis Bergkamp and Thierry Henry. Do excuse me while I burst into tears at the thought that we had all those players playing for us at one time. deary me. What a team. What a team. I think we can all agree. Hell of a side. they'd win the league now, wouldn't they? God, dearie, dearie me. Right. So if that's the best, and you're all expecting to me to say, who's the worst? No, no. If that's the best Arsenal 11, what's the second best Arsenal 11? Harry, goalkeeper.
Jens Lehmann. For me.
Jens Lehmann? Quick and to the point. Any reason why?
Invincible, incredible character. I love characters, man. That's why. So if someone asked me yesterday, who's my favourite player at Arsenal right now? And you know who I said? David Luiz, because he's a bloody character. Not because he's the best player. Yeah. I love characters in football, and I love people.
I loved that bit of shithousery he did. Was it Wigan? I think we were playing Wigan at the Emirates. 3-2 up, 88th minute, and the ball went over the advertising hoardings, and he jumped over the advertising hoardings to get it. And on the way back, he went to throw it back over the advertising hoardings, but to waste more time, he threw it at the advertising hoardings, so it bounced back and he had to go back and get it again. One of the greatest bit of goalkeeping shithousery I've ever seen. I love Jens.
I know people talk, like, there'll be mentions for Jennings and all those guys. I don't remember them, so I'm going by that. And
no, that's fair enough.
Jens for me.
I mean, Jennings was before my time as well. But I mean, I grew up with John Lukic, who I thought was a great goalkeeper. Yeah. David Seaman, oh, he's in the team. But Pat Jennings was always a goalkeeper I'd seen on videotapes. My granddad used to tell me about Pat Jennings. My dad used to tell me about Pat Jennings. So I think it would have been between, for me, it would have been between Lehmann and Jennings. I actually went for Jennings. Dan?
I don't know what's happening here. I mean, I'm agreeing with Harry a bit too much than I like to. And the second thing is, I get Harry a chacker doll, and all of a sudden his best player is David Luiz. I am going to get him a David Luiz doll for Christmas so that he goes off of him like he has Granit Xhaka all of a sudden.
Well, are you going to put your hand a bit deeper in your pocket this time and get a bigger one, for God's sake?
Do you know what? On the computer, it was about that big.
I life remember size.
Coming through the post, and I was like, what the hell's that? Anyway, I think Bob Wilson and Pat Jennings deserve a mention, but good like show. Harry, I didn't get to see the pair of them. I'm going to go with Jens, because Jens is closer to David Seaman than I like, if I'm honest, because Jens Lehmann's character was great, but also he was superb. And you look at the two saves he made, penalty-wise, in 2005 and 2006, it got us to a FA Cup winner's medal, thanks to him, and it got us to a Champions League final.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can sit there and go, oh, he doesn't really deserve the credit. I can't sit there and say that Wilson or Jennings were better because I didn't see them. And maybe Lee will be able to say that they were both better goalkeepers, but I'm going to have to go for Jens Lehmann. Invincible, the only player I believe, I don't know if Kolo Touré was like him as well, but I think he played every single minute in that Invincible season, Jens Lehmann. So I'm going to go for Jens.
Leo, I see you shaking your head at Lens.
Not my best goalkeeper, if I'll be honest. Pat Jennings was far better goalkeeper than him, if I'll be honest. And probably John Lukic. I think he was behind a fantastic defence, you know, but he still was a very, very good goalkeeper. But I don't think he was top notch. I really don't, like, you know what I mean?
John Lukic, is it?
Well, John Lukic is up there. Like, I would have gone for Pat Jennings, but, you know, I hear what Dan's saying about the penalties, but I look back at the 2-2 at White Hart Lane, and you know, we should have won that game if it weren't for him in his antics. And I know it sounds silly. I never really enjoyed that White Hart Lane bloody game because we was 2-0 up when they come back to 2-2. I know we won the league that day, but it would have been a little bit sweeter.
Sweeter, yeah.
And if we would have beat them. And because of his antics that day, and he had a little bit of a thing to do that night, you know, and, you know, cost us probably with the Champions League by coming running out like he did, you know what I mean, got sent off. But ultimately, you know, I can't argue with the guys because he is, you know, ultimately was a winner as well. I know that there, you know. But John Lukic done a fantastic thing of winning the league and all that. But, you know, to go unbeaten in the league, I suppose you've got to go with it. Like, so I can't argue with the boys.
Jens Lehmann gets in goal. Harry, let's go for your right back.
I would have gone Lee Dixon as my second choice right back, but these guys put him in the first one, didn't they? So I can't have him now.
Well worked out.
So, and you got some walnut whips or whatever to eat.
Whatever, come on, get one of them. You might put on a pound.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go with. I've picked Lauren already. I've picked Lee Dixon already. So I'm going to go with Bakary Sagna.
That's good shout. Not a bad shout. Oh, Sagna. Dan.
Pat Rice. Everything that means to Arsenal is Pat Rice. Not just because of what he's done on the pitch, but also off of it as well. Best number two that Arsene Wenger's ever had. Best number two that we've ever had, I think.
Mm.
And I think that he deserves it. What he did with us winning medals and trophies. Got to go for Pat Rice behind Lee. Listen, I'm a huge fan of Lauren, huge fan of Sagna. And I think that it would be wrong for me not to put Pat Rice in the mix. So I'm going to have Pat Rice.
Lee, I reckon you're going to agree with Dan there.
Hector Bellerin.
I was waiting
for something. Poor old Hecky B.
Nah, I'm going for Pat Rice for the simple reason what he's saying there was a quality right back for Arsenal through that era. And got to thank him for so many Arsenal players that have come through the ranks. I know like that ain't what we're looking at, but, you know, for me, I think that, yeah, Pat Rice for me.
Harry, your two centre-halves?
You
should be good.
Oh, this is a difficult one.
We went with Tony Adams
and Campbell.
And Campbell. Then I'm going to go with Frank McClintock and Martin Keown or Kolo Touré. I can't decide. I'm going to go with Kolo Touré because he was part of the Invincibles. Obviously a key part in that team. Frank McClintock's a little bit old now, so he probably needs a good athlete next to him. So let's go with Kolo Touré.
Dan?
Frank McClintock, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Keown. I think Martin Keown is really underrated, you know. Yeah, and I think because Steve Bold played next to Adams in the 98 for the majority of it, everyone sees him as the partner. But Keown was very underrated and an absolute hard nut as well. I would not want to come up against Martin Keown. So I'm going to go for McClintock and Keown.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to go with Keown as well because I just remembered that thing he did to Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Exactly that.
That can throw any argument. Lee?
For me, David O'Leary and Martin Keown.
David O'Leary and Martin Keown. So I actually went McClintock Touré. So we have McClintock and Martin Keown go in. Left back.
I'm going to go with Kenny Sansom.
Yeah.
Because I didn't put him in the other team.
Dan, Kenny Sansom? I think this one's probably going to be easy.
I think it's easy. I do want to mention Nigel Winterburn because he was about part of that back five and he was outstanding. And George Graham deserves a lot of credit to go and get, you know, Lee Dixon and Steve Bould from Stoke and Nigel Winterburn from Wimbledon. And, you know, everyone, imagine that nowadays. Everyone will be going, what the hell are we buying people from Stoke for? So yeah. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. Love Nigel Winterburn. It's got to be Kenny Sansom. He was, you know, as Lee said, close between him and Ashley Cole. So that one's easy for me.
Lee?
Kenny?
Kenny Sampson. So that one's pretty easy, isn't it? Lee, talk to me about... I've asked you this question before, I think, on a different podcast, but talk to me about, I think, who was a very underrated centre-half, who went well under the radar at Arsenal. Not that he probably wouldn't get talked about going into any of these teams, but just why I'm going through them and thinking about them. Andy Linnigan, Lee. He was a bit of an unsung hero, wasn't he?
Yeah, he came to Arsenal and he could never quite broke into the team, but like, you know, was a good centre half, just a little bit slow, weren't quite quick enough for the Premier League, but got a great goal, of course, in the final,
of course, in 93,
the header. But he was always sort of a backup to Adams, Bold, and really didn't really fulfil that potential, I suppose. You know what I mean? But was a warrior. Was a worry. Wouldn't want to play up against him, if I'll be honest. No. But just wasn't quite. You know that time for any central defender, and that's why I give Keown a lot of credit. Bolden and Adams was a formidable partnership. Not just good players, partnership. You know, they worked well together, and it was a sacred sort of partnership for a few years. But and Andy Linnigan come in and done a job.
Mm-hmm. Someone's just asking there in the chat, was that the fellow who broke his arm? No, that was Steve Morrow who broke his arm. Some people are saying Sammy Nelson. Some people have got another good shout. Yeah, some people are saying that Gael Clichy has been underrated there. Good shout.
Yeah, not in the class of Sampson and Cole.
No. Gus Caesar.
Super Gus.
Super Gus. Pascal Saigan. Another
Silvino.
One.
Silvino.
And Senderos.
Silvino done well for us for a year or so, but
yeah. If you think, and that shout there at Senderos was in the, he was centre back. Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute, Harry. He was our centre half when we went to the Champions League final.
Yeah.
We're still holding the ref.
One second. Doesn't he deserve a mention?
And the record for the most clean sheets.
Flamini was our left back all the way to the final as well. We're going to put him over.
Move on. I'm not having Senderos in a conversation of this magnitude.
Big field,
right midfield, or right sided player, Harry.
I went with Lundberg first time round, so I'll go with. I'm not in the business of fabricating positions for people, so I'll go with Ray Parlour on the right hand side.
Dan.
I went for Rocky, so I would go for Freddie Lundberg ahead of Ray Parlour personally. I loved Ray Parlour, by the way. I say that, but Freddie was outstanding.
Didn't he get into the... No, he didn't. Sorry, it was David Rocastle, wasn't it? So Freddie for Dan. Lee?
Paul Merson for me.
Oh.
I just feel like he was over the... longevity of it all. I've just felt that, you know, quality player, won everything at Arsenal, two titles, played it for that. I think quite rightly so. You can mention Freddie. It's a tough one for me. Just preferential thing. I thought Freddie was outstanding, but I think that Freddie was in a unbelievable side as well and done a great job. But for me, Paul Merson.
Well, I went for Lundberg. So... Lundberg goes in.
Freddie.
Two central midfielders, Harry.
This is tough.
It's a good shout as well, actually, isn't it?
I went with Vieira and Fabregas, so I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with Emmanuel Petit.
What a player!
That's a great shout.
What a player he was.
And I didn't. Oh, but he got into our main team, didn't he? So I can't go with Liam Brady. I can't go with Fabregas because I've already picked him. I kind of want to put Gilberto Silva in there, but him.
Oh,
and
another
Petit,
good shout.
Does it work? Does him and Petit shout. Work? I suppose it does. Go on then,
Gilberto and Petit. That's a hell of a shout. That Petit.
Cazorla deserves a mention as well.
Yeah, because Santi Cazorla, yeah.
In a 4-4-2, I'm not sure I'd have him in there.
Mickey Thomas has got to get a mention.
Mickey Thomas, Paul Davis.
I don't remember them. That's why I didn't go with them.
Sam,
this is difficult, isn't it? I went for Vieira and Brady. Cesc Fabregas, 100% for me.
Yeah, guaranteed.
That's guaranteed. And then I have to decide on three players: Gilberto, Petit, or Cazorla. Loved all three of them. I personally feel the best technically was Santi Cazorla, probably that we've had at the club, but I'm not sure that he'd work with Fabregas. I think you've got to play one or the other. So I am going to go with the most underrated player at Arsenal, or one off certainly, period, Gilberto Silva. I think he was better than Petit. A lot of people disagree. I think when Petit left Arsenal, I don't know what he did, really. Gilberto, absolutely outstanding for us. And when you look at what Gilberto does, you understand a game of football. I always say this. When you watch a game of football, you don't really see Gilberto. You think, has he had a bit of a quiet game? Watch Gilberto Silva and you'll understand what he does and how important he is to a football team. He's exactly the same as Sergio Busquets at Barcelona. He does everything. He is so vital to the team. And when he got injured in the unbeaten season, everyone went, I didn't think we'd miss him. We got Vieira. When's he coming back? We need him. Gilberto is class, mate. Absolutely brilliant. Has to be him. So I go for someone's put no Arteta, Dan. It's got to be Gilberto and Fabregas for me, Craig.
Lee?
Fabregas and for me, Aaron Ramsey. I thought like for a couple of seasons, I honestly think this, if Aaron Ramsey never broke his leg, he would have been the best player to play for Arsenal. I think that he had everything and everything. I just think that he just lost a little bit of pace through that. I felt that he was a top player. Petit, you know, was outstanding for a couple of years, but only 2 years for us. Gilberto Silva's going to get it, but I thought he was great. And I'll tell you another, Paul Davies has to get a mention. Also, a player that's actually on with the club now should have to get a mention. And that's Edu. He was superb for us. Really underrated. Wiltshire would have been as good as anybody if he hadn't for injuries. I have to mention him. Mickey Thomas has to get a shout as well. He was brilliant in there. But for me, I still think that we miss him now to this day for his goals and his endeavour and everything. And for me, Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's a great shout, that, mate. It's a great shout. But on the votes, Fabregas and Gilberto Silva. Going into that team. Left-sided midfield, Harry?
I won't be Pires. So I'm going to go with Sanchez this time. Great player. I preferred Pires and I couldn't not pick Pires. It's not to take anything away from Sanchez. The guy carried us for, 2-3 seasons?
Yeah.
Literally on his own back. So he definitely deserves a shout in there.
Dan?
I can't disagree. I think Overmars was class, but I don't think that he carried Arsenal for 3 seasons like Alexis Sanchez did. I don't think he can knock it in. It's got to be Alexis Sanchez on the left-hand side. I think if I would have saw George Armstrong play, from what I hear, I think he would have probably walked in the first team from what everyone says how good he was. But I've got to give it to Alexis Sanchez behind Robert Pires.
Cool. Someone's just put in a...
Is it the same one, I think? Mine was this one. Perry Groves.
Cult hero, without a doubt. Cult hero. Yeah, someone just put in there, Peter Story, what a midfield player. If you ever go back, just please go and watch this. If you've never, ever seen it, please go and watch the FA Cup semi-final against Stoke. We're going for the double. We're 2-0 down in the semi-final. We pull it back to 2-1, and the last kick of the game, for the people that have not seen it, the last kick of the game, we get a header and it gets punched off the line. So it's the last kick to keep us in the semi-final and also keep us the double going. And Peter Story, there's players that are not watching the penalty. They've had to turn their back because they can't watch it. And Peter Story is the man that steps up. Get in there, Peter. And we go on and win the double. So if you have not seen that, please go and do it. It's worth a look there. So he deserves a mention. On the left-hand side, Sanchez.
Sanchez, absolutely. Right, the two strikers. Harry?
I'll chuck Ian Wright in there because I left him out of the other team. So Ian Wright goes in for me. And I'm going to go with Robin Van Persie based on what I said about him earlier. I think technically he was that good. Unbelievable left foot, incredibly talented. Injuries, I think, prevented him reaching the maximum. Obviously went on to leave Arsenal, win the Premier League. I just think the guy, that left foot of his was unreal. So Ian Wright and Robin Van Persie for me. Imagine what a partnership that'd be. I like Anelka, like Judges mentioned earlier, but his head wasn't right. If his head was right, then he could have gone on to have an incredible career. Yeah. He ended up becoming a bit of a journeyman because he took bad advice. So I'm going to go with
When I sat down to write these out, I actually... One came into my head, although I think he's going to cause a bit of a stir, but I actually was thinking about putting Adebayor in there. Adebayor and Ian Wright. What a partnership that would have been. But obviously, the sour taste left in the mouth, the way he left and all that business. I actually went for Van Persie and Ian Wright as well. Dan?
Well, obviously, Ian Wright, 100%. That goes in without saying. This next position is probably some of the most underrated players that play for the club. Olivier Giroud, Nicolas Anelka, Will Tordu, obviously.
Oh, no, I can't agree with Giroud. Okay, no. Rubbish.
Do you think? I thought he was very underrated. Rubbish. Very underrated. What he did, scored. What was it? What did he score? I think he's in the Premier League. I think he's the behind Bergkamp, Henry, and Wright, and then it's Giroud. So he's got goals. Might not have liked the way he played.
No. Look, he done us all right for 12 million quid. I'll give him that. But God's sake.
I thought he was very underrated, and he's not. I'm not going to go for him though. And I'm not going to go for Robin van Persie because he had 1 year and the other 8 he was injured. That's very true. So I'm going to go for another player who is behind Gilberto in being the most underrated player at Arsenal, and it is Kanu. I think he was probably one of the most skillful players I've ever seen at the club. The best hat-trick I've ever seen in an Arsenal shirt in 10 minutes at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah,
third goal was absolutely outstanding. One of the best bits of skills I've ever seen to create a goal, along with Giroud's scorpion kick, actually, was Kanu's flick from Lee Dixon and Ray Parlour doing a bit of magic down the right. That little flick against Middlesbrough was absolutely superb. And he scored a brilliant North London derby goal where he flicked it over the defender's head and banged it in. So I'm going to go for Kanu and Ian Wright.
Do you know what, Dan? That's a it's a hell of a shout, that is, Kanu. He was fantastic, wasn't he? He was absolutely brilliant. Lee?
Charlie Nicholas. I'm just going to get him in there. I ain't going to go over Van Persie. I think Van Persie is going to nick it. But and of course, Ian Wright. We've had some great players like Alan Smith.
It is hard, isn't it?
Eduardo.
He
was a terrific striker for us. Frank Stapleton was terrific, but he went to Man United. Like a lot of these players, we've had, like, left us very not in a good position. I'm going to have to say this is also, Adi Bahior was outstanding for a season.
Oh, great.
You know what I mean? Like, really outstanding.
I was gutted when he left. It was a bad thing,
So, but Tony Woodcock would have to get a mention in there. But I think that if, you know, I'm putting in Charlie Nicholas because I love Charlie Nicholas, but I would have to say Robin van Persie was on a different wavelength. You know, like someone said, you're not putting your mate Kevin in there. Kevin is up there, but he's not in the top four, I'm afraid. Paul Mariner was fantastic. You know, you talk about coming in and doing a little job for a little while. He came in and changed Arsenal around very, very much so. Like, you know what I mean? So
he came in from Ipswich, didn't he?
Yes, great player. Like, you know what I mean? So
someone else in there has put Davil Suka as well. He was a fantastic player as well. I thought he was great. Davil Suka, anyone?
I like Davil Suka a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't see the best of him.
Exactly. We didn't.
We signed him a year earlier. We would have got a different Davil Suka, I think.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so the second best 11, according to the chaps and us, Jens Lehmann in goal, Pat Rice right back, Frank McClintock and Carlo Torre in the middle, Kenny Sampson on the left. Oh, sorry, Martin Keown in the middle, Kenny Sampson on the left. On the right side, Freddie Ljungberg with Gilberto and Cesc Fabregas. Left midfield, or left side, Sanchez, and up front, Robin van Persie and Ian Wright. That ain't a bad team either, boys, is it?
No, very good team.
That'd win the league as well.
I think it would. Let's touch on, we won't go into it too much because of Dan's team talk show on Friday. Lads, we've Liverpool at the weekend at home. Let's have a quick prediction from you, Harry. I think we can beat them. I think we've got the advantage. We're, you know, if there is any little advantage to have about from being at home, I think they've had a poor run of results. I think they're going to. I think this might be the first time they visit us, you know, with it in the back of their mind that they could get beaten.
I look at this and say that, you know, we've got a good chance, largely because I know we've got a UEFA Europa League game, but they play Real Madrid on Wednesday. And
is it Wednesday? Is it, well, I thought it was Tuesday. Was it Wednesday?
I think it's Wednesday. Tuesday, you're right. So it's even worse for them.
Yeah.
They've got a game on Tuesday. And I just, judging by what Jurgen Klopp's done the last couple of times when they've had a Champions League game where he's rotated quite heavily, I think his mind is on trying to salvage what, you know, we talk about us having a bad season. This team ran away with a Premier League last year and have completely collapsed. So I think Jurgen Klopp will be determined to put that right by doing something in the Champions League. He'll feel like the draw has opened up for him in a good way as well. And if they can get past Madrid, so I think that he'll be focused on that Madrid game. I think that'll be his priority, and it opens the door for us. You've got to think as well, I know we've had Elneny go away, but and a couple of other players go off to Africa, but Mo Salah's out there, obviously their best player. So yeah, there's a lot to, there's a lot in our advantage, I think.
Absolutely. Dan?
Yeah, I think Harry's right. Wouldn't it just be so this year, season 2020-2022, the Champions League winners are Liverpool. Could you imagine? It would just be, that is what is happening, isn't it? Two teams that are underachieved this season, Arsenal and Liverpool. I don't think any fan of either club would want this season to be repeated. It's been shambolic, to say the least. I think it's going to be a draw. Don't think we're going to nick it. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. But I think it's going to be a game where both teams are going to be quite scared, because they know their weaknesses. Liverpool know where they're weak. I think everybody knows where Liverpool are weak. But they are getting better. They're starting to improve. When I've watched them, they look good in Europe. They looked great against Wolves. So I think they're going to have enough to cause us some problems personally. And it's not going to be a walkover like some of the Arsenal fans are going to expect. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Lee?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think at the end of the day, the one thing we can take from it, if we do lose this game, it might stop them down the road getting in the top four. So I'm not going to be that overconfident. The draw is the worst thing that can happen to us, really, because I don't think it's good for us, and it's certainly not good for them. So if we're 1-1 with 5 minutes to go, let's chuck the kitchen sink at them. That's what I reckon. But I think that we're nick it. I think, like, they've got their best hope of winning something this season. And I think getting into the Champions League is to win the Champions League. And they will look at it and think Real Madrid not as in the great side, and not in the greatest form, but still got to be taken seriously. And also, you know, then they've got Chelsea probably in the semi-final if they come through Porto. So they've got a good chance of getting to the final, yeah. But they'll have one eye certainly on Tuesday night. And also with all these internationals and everything like that, they might have to rest a few of their superstars if they want to, unless, because something could happen in that game there. So I think that we'll have one eye on the Champions League, and I think that'll help us out.
2-1. Yeah, I'm with you, mate. 2-1 to the Arsenal. I am going 2-1 to the Arsenal.
I think we should get Mohamed Elneny in the side. Apparently, he scored another screamer today in the chat.
Oh, mate, I retweeted it. Have a look at it.
Is that not from like 3 years ago?
No. So, quick one. Mohamed Elneny basically got left out of the team the other day on Thursday for Egypt. Had a massive falling out with a manager. The manager asked him at halftime if he could warm up to come on. And Elneny refused and said, "I'm not playing for the rest of the game," and apparently refused to play today. But they've obviously sorted it out. Apparently Mo Salah was a broker in the discussions between them, because he started the game today, and within about 4 or 5 minutes, he scored an absolute worldie. But apparently Mohamed Elneny is not getting on with this Egyptian manager, and he's told him, "If you're not going to start me, then don't call me up," which is incredible. This is Mohamed Elneny.
Wow.
Should be getting straight in the Arsenal team ahead of Granit Xhaka any day of the week. Get him in the side. Mohamed Elneny.
Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this evening, as always.
I think
we've come up with two good teams there. Who would win out of the two teams? Cool. In the comments below.
Put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments below. Thanks for all you all for hanging around and listening to us. And watching us. If you're watching on replay, thank you very much indeed. If you're listening to us on audio, thank you very much indeed. If you could hit the like button, it would help us out greatly if you could do that for me. Until we see you again on Wednesday at 8:30, me and Judge return with a question of Arsenal. Then on Thursday, we have four men and a mic. And on Friday, Dan is bringing you the team talk on Friday. So, yeah. I'm just going to put this up one more time so we can come out with this. obviously the 20th anniversary of David Rowcastle's death this year. Obviously, rest in peace, David. Never forgotten. We'll see you again on Wednesday. Until we do, up the Arsenal. Take care of yourselves and each other.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.